morning. This is Pastor Stolz, and welcome to our Sunday worship. I will be reading the scriptures in a moment, and they are as follows. Lamentations 3, verses 18 to 26. Galatians 3, verses 10 to 14. St. John 16, 16 to 33. And we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name he gives power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks unto thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, thee, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that being ever mindful of the end of all things and the days of thy judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness, O living here, and dwell with you forever hereafter. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without thee. Amen. And let's confess our faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Old Testament reading again, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 18 to 26. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So far, a reading from Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14, which is the basis for my sermon. For as many as are of works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law, and do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, and the law is not of faith, but a man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So far. The Gospel, St. John, chapter 16, verses 16 to 23. A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while? And you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he is saying, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So far the Gospel. Let us have confession and absolution. I now ask you before God who searches your heart, do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God and deserve his wrath and punishment? Then declare so by saying, I do confess. Do you heartily repent of all of your sins, committed in thought, word, and deed? Then declare so by saying, I do repent. Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all of your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe. Do you promise that with the aid of the Holy Ghost, you will henceforth amend your sinful life? Then declare so by saying, I do promise. And finally, do you believe that through me, a called servant of God, you will receive the forgiveness of your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe. Upon this, your confession. I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I said earlier, my sermon is based upon the epistle reading. The theme, Christ became a curse for us. You know, oftentimes the law of God is explained only as a guide to life, and rightly so. But the fact that God still demands perfect obedience to his commandments as a prerequisite for entering heaven is sometimes overlooked. The fact that we human beings deserve eternal damnation because of our evil natures and because of our sinful lives is something that very few dare to talk about today. But it's of extreme importance for every Christian to have this truth clearly in mind if they are to fully understand the meaning of our Savior's suffering and death. It's important to understand in order to appreciate the salvation that Jesus Christ has provided. This morning's epistle instruction to us on this matter, it tells us that Christ became a curse for us. Holy Scripture assures us that all people are sinners because of original sin. But we are also told that the actual sins that we do will also condemn us forever. The reason that God's Word speaks of sin so plainly is because it is absolutely necessary for us to be aware of sin and its consequences. I'm sure that all of us at times feel satisfied with ourselves. We might even compare ourselves with other people and appear to be in good light. And just because we feel less guilty than others, does that make us innocent? Does that excuse the wrong that we have done? What does our text say? Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law and do them. See, that's a clincher. Do them. Obedience in all things is what God demands. His word is plain. We are cursed if we fail to do all things that he has commanded. And even more than that, if we fail to do only one thing that God has commanded, we are guilty of all his commands. You know, if you work in a bank for 20 years and have always performed your duties faithfully, but then just once, you embezzle $5,000, the board of directors will not excuse you and say, well, there have been others who have embezzled more, so therefore, you're not really that guilty. No way. One mistake like that, and you will lose your job, and you might even go to jail. Well, so it is with God. He doesn't say, do the best you can. God's commandments are not multiple choice. God demands that we keep all of his commandments, all that thou shalt and all that thou shalt not. We are to keep them perfectly in thought, word, and deed. Have we done so? No. That's the answer. And since we have not done so, we cannot be saved by trying to keep the law of God. St. Paul tells us, through inspiration, everyone who is involved in trying to keep the law its demands, falls under a curse. And we cannot enter God's holy heaven and stand in God's holy presence with this curse resting upon us. Therefore, we conclude that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God. The curse of God's law rests upon us, and that is the punishment that God has threatened us with because of sin, and it belongs to us. And what is that punishment? Not only is it temporal death, but also eternal damnation and hell. You see, the problem today is that so many so-called Christians and so many so-called Christian churches, they no longer teach this. They say that the church is good for building character. It stands for what is good and honest and true. In other words, the church is a symbol. They say that the church's job is to relate society's miseries and pain. In other words, do all these social niceties, but don't ever call people sinners and members of a cursed generation. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against social niceties. But the fact that the church's job is to rescue people out of the grasp of the devil and to save people from the eternal fires of hell is becoming the farthest things in the minds of so many Christians today. The thought of curse, hell, damnation, sin, rejection, that's basic to the Christian religion. These are the curses that you and I have deserved. But while God cursed us and had every right to do so because of sin, he also loved the cursed sinner as nobody else has ever loved anyone. He truly wanted to share eternal life with him in heaven. And yet, he had to condemn us. Why? Because God cannot condone sin. Was there any way by which God could do both? Well, by human standards, no. But God, in his infinite wisdom and love, found a way. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. God found a substitute for us and cursed him in our place. The only person who was both willing and able to be cursed in our place was God's own Son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah tells us, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our Father in heaven took the mountain load of our sins off our backs, as it were, and transferred the entire load upon his very own dear Son, Jesus Christ. He did this not only with your sins and mine, but also with the sins of every human being of all ages, past, present, and future. And that's how our Heavenly Father made Christ a curse for us. He cursed him instead of cursing us. He threatened Christ as if he had been guilty of all the evil that we have committed in thought, word, and deed. And that is why Christ had to die that awful death on that cross. There he suffered the curse of sin, eternal damnation, the very tortures of the damned. Remember how Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, that was hell. To be completely forsaken by God, that is hell. And that's what makes hell such a terrible place. No person on earth, not even the rankest atheist, is ever completely forsaken by God here on earth. But in hell, this dreadful separation actually becomes a reality. No wonder Jesus cried out as he did. Jesus had to suffer all those tortures if we were to be redeemed and saved. God had to punish sin. But instead of punishing us who had committed that sin, he punished our substitute, his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is what it means when it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The fact that Christ was cursed by God was visibly demonstrated to the world when Jesus was nailed to that cross. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. God wanted Christ to be seen as what he actually became, a curse. It was the cross that said to the Jews and to the entire world, Jesus Christ was cursed. And now this curse of God becomes the greatest blessing of God. God who is just and holy had to curse man because of his wickedness. However, he found a substitute to bear that curse. Yes, God did both, a curse and a blessing. He cursed the human race forever by cursing his Son in their place, and blessed the human race forever by removing the curse through his very same Son. And just see what this cost the Father in heaven, the life of his own Son. Was there ever a love like this? We can never comprehend this boundless love that God had for us lost, guilty, condemned sinners. And now that the curse has been removed, there remains one more thought that is emphasized by St. Paul, and that is, how do we obtain this blessing? We are told that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. For the just, well, they shall live by faith. Faith is the hand that takes and receives the blessings of God. But faith, too, is a gift of God. When God creates faith in our hearts and gives us the blessings of Christ, we cannot say that we have earned them in any way, shape, or form. Faith, forgiveness, salvation, heaven are all gifts from God. All that we can do is say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we should all be horrified when we think of that awful curse that God has pronounced upon us because of our sins, and we have to admit that we richly deserve it. But we also stand amazed at the limitless love of God and of his Son, our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from the curse. Never shall we be able to fathom it. But God doesn't ask us to fathom it or to understand it or to even comprehend his love. All he asks us is that we trust it, we believe it. And he even gives us the power to do that, trusting and believing. May God continue to protect our trusting and believing faith. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto thy church, thy Holy Spirit, that the wisdom which comes down from above, that your word as becometh it may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edification of Christ's holy people, and that in steadfast faith we may serve thee and in the confession of thy name abide to the very end. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.